Welcome to The Founder's Mind. This is your host, Adam Mutcher. On this episode, I have Janice Omadeki, the founder and CEO of The Mentor Method, a mentor matching platform for enterprise businesses. Janice sheds light on paying it forward, bootstrapping your company, and building your team. Throughout the conversation, you'll learn about not going it alone, the importance of falling in love with the problem, and how you're not entitled to anyone's time. Stay dialed in to pick up valuable lessons Janice has learned along the way and next level wisdom that she has to share. Welcome to The Founder's Mind.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I like to start with something kind of broad, but tell us, the listeners, tell me a little bit about what you're working on right now, what your focus is.
Sure, happy to. Hi, Janice Omadeki, CEO and founder of The Mentor Method. We're an enterprise SaaS platform that uses mentoring to create inclusive workplace cultures. So unlike blind hiring sites or job boards for women and minorities, we use mentorship to help companies screen and engage diverse candidates while also using their current top performers in a more people-focused way.
You haven't said that before, have you?
No, that's only my 1 billionth time.
Yeah.
But you know, I think one of the things I like about that is it keeps changing every time I say it.
Yeah. There's so, little wrinkles.
Yeah, exactly. I was in Seed Spot, one of the accelerators here in DC, and one of their pieces of advice was, with your elevator pitch or overview, treat it like a jazz musician treats his music, where it's like the same song, but he'll add in something different each time to keep himself engaged, and it keeps the person that you're speaking with engaged too.
So Mentor Method, you know, enterprise SaaS business, how did you get into this?
So I feel like, have you ever seen that movie Slumdog Millionaire?
Mm-hmm.
How like when he's asked all of those questions, somehow his life has always brought him to the answer.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of feel like that's what happened to me in the Mentor Method, if you will.
Sure.
You know, my parents immigrated to the U.S. from the Congo back in the 70s. And so when we were growing up, you know, it was really just them together trying to build a life for all of us. So my dad was working 3 jobs at one point. There were like 6 of us in a 2-bedroom apartment. And this guy gets into my dad's line at the bank where he was working. And just like a regular total stranger, has a conversation with him and is like, you know what? You are brighter than this. I want you to come learn how to use computers. Free of charge. It's my class. Just, you know, take the metro, whatever you need to do, but it's free for you. And so my dad agreed. And in 2 years, he went from working 3 jobs to getting a super high clearance at the Pentagon and working in IT. And that's just, I mean, that's amazing in a 2-year span because of this random stranger, this random man who just saw some value in my dad and decided to reach out and like help him. And because of that, in that same 2-year span, my family went from 6 of us in, you know, a small 2-bedroom apartment in not the best part of Arlington to an adorable 5-bedroom house with a yard in a good school district in Woodbridge, Virginia. So that's kind of a long-winded way of saying that I'm literally a walking byproduct of tech and mentoring coming together.
Sure.
You know, and when you advocate for other people when you have no skin in the game, it impacts not just that person, but their children. So how could I not want to start playing a part in that?
Yeah.
And thankfully, you know, with the way tech is now and being certified in entrepreneurship from MIT and knowing how to code and all these other things, I felt like this was my way to make my parents' sacrifices sort of play out again, but then also sort of share the gratefulness I feel for being a first-gen kid and having those mentors, having that random stranger before he even knew me, you know, push that ladder down. I want to continue that process.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it sounds almost like amplifying what that moment was.
Yeah.
And also what it did to your dad and what he's doing.
Exactly. You know, and if there's a way to use tech to introduce 2 people that would have never met otherwise, and it changes the life, change the life of both the mentee and the mentor, I just think that it can create this tidal wave of change, right?
Yes.
Plus, too, I mean, if we're going to see a stronger workforce, there's this really like sexy phrase in diversity and inclusion of like the future of work. Everybody's talking about the future of work. What does 2040 and beyond look like? And all of these other catchphrases. And I think it's good to talk about it, but what are we actually doing to make sure that the employees that would be a part of the future of work are actually contributing in a bigger way. And I think that professional development and getting mentorship from people who have already paved the way for all of us to be here now and will continue to do so in the future is the best way to make sure that, you know, we're continuing to see innovation and we're continuing to see future leaders that are actually strong and capable of leading.
Well said. I'm sitting here just listening. Absorbing. What was the tipping point into getting into the mentor method and making this happen?
So actually, the day before Thanksgiving 2 years ago, I had the idea. So around the holidays, I like to write thank you notes to people. I'm a strong believer that you're not entitled to anybody's time, right? You're not entitled to get their thoughts. You're not entitled to get their mentorship or feedback. So I'm always really grateful for the opportunities that I've had in my career to talk to people and get the help that I needed. And so I was sitting down to write down that list of like people I needed to write thank you cards for. And I just took a second, looked at that list, and then remembered how the first list I made when I was 21 and just out of school was my parents and Marie Claire magazine, right? And I was like, I've come a long way, but it took a really long time to get to that point of having, you know, a network of allies and advocates and people that I could call up to get that professional development help. And this was even pre-entrepreneurship. Now I have an incredible support system and incredible mentors too, but I just remembered how long it took me to find those people, how much pain and struggle and confusion went into finding the right mentors and getting to that point. And I think it's ridiculous. Like, there has to be an easier way. There has to be a way to help people get there faster. And that's when the mentor method really came to be. Plus two, I had already taken Entrepreneurship 101 from MIT. So as soon as I had the idea, I was like, well, let's just see the total addressable market. Like, let's see what we could be playing in, yeah. Right? Saw that that was big, started looking at competitors, figured out, you know, I already had a feeling of what the value prop would be, but yeah. It confirmed it.
Yeah.
And then I just decided to see what would happen. Like, let the world tell me no.
Yeah.
But let me just try this thing out.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, you know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's been going well.
It's nothing to laugh at. I mean, I think that I just had a conversation with someone and they said, starting a business is easy. Like, yeah. Actually physically, like, you get the LLC, you can get a website, you can do all, there are all sorts of things you can do now to start it, but building it, maintaining it, growing it, seeing it evolve, helping it evolve, that's where you really get into the work.
Yeah, I think you have to be, in order to do that and really put the time in to try to grow a business, you have to be married to the problem more than your solution sometimes, because actually all the time, because it's not, like we were saying before, it's not always sexy being up until 4 a.m., napping and getting up again at 6, you know, to do it all over again. But if you're really passionate about what you're trying to solve and the customers that you're trying to help, it makes it all worth it.
Yeah. It feels obvious what energizes you about the mentor method and the work, but I'd be curious to hear maybe a little articulation around that.
That's a good question. I actually haven't thought about that, like, thoroughly what energizes me. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a connector. I like bringing people together and then letting them build that relationship. I'm a problem solver just naturally, so that's always energizing, figuring out how to solve things. Mm-hmm. I think that what the mentor method is doing, fortunately, is timely but also unfortunate, because how are we still facing so many inequities in the workplace? And I think it's absolutely ridiculous, but I'm glad that we're playing a part in that.
Yeah.
So that really energizes me. Remembering the situations that I was in, you know, as a woman of color in tech, yeah. In the workforce, predominantly defense contracting, remembering the things that I faced,
yeah.
And using that to motivate me so that in the future those instances happen less often, if yeah. at all, for the next generation to come, right? So how am I fixing this? How am I playing a part in the bigger picture,
yeah.
Kind of a thing? That energizes me. But then also, you know, I think sometimes, yeah, okay, I'll just say it. So the bulk of my professional life and just life in general, I've always been seen more as the underdog or the question mark despite knowing that I'm super ambitious and will get the job done and exceed expectations, oftentimes people would doubt me or wouldn't, I don't know, they just, for whatever reason, I always felt like I was the underdog or not necessarily 100% believed, whether somebody said it or implied it or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I've always had this sort of needing to work three times as hard in every situation that I've been in. Mm-hmm. And so a part of me is still kind of using those things, like those comments that others have made, those comments that past bosses have made and things. And that also kind of motivates me to be like, haha, look, see, I am helping people. Or look, you know, you thought that I would be off as some sad housewife at the age of 30 with no goals. And here I am, 30, opening a business. Running a business, absolutely, yeah. Running a business. So I think that's what really energizes me.
You kind of alluded to a little bit, but what's a challenge that you experienced in getting the Mentor Method up and running?
I mean, entrepreneurship, you face thousands of challenges every day, mm-hmm. right? Like, you go to bed thinking that you'll have five and you wake up and there are 2,000 that just happened somehow, yeah. in the 2 hours. But I think the biggest challenges for me were funding, mm-hmm. and then, of course, getting the first customer. Mm-hmm. That's always the biggest. And then team building. Mm-hmm. So I think just fundamentals, really.
And what were your, how did you navigate, so you say funding, mm-hmm. first customer, team building?
So for funding, we're still bootstrapped. Mm-hmm. We're still just reinvesting anything that we earn into the company. So thankfully, I'm very frugal. So just figuring out the best ways to sort of hack things together. So for example, my first MVP, minimum viable product, I knew that I didn't want to pay a developer tens of thousands of dollars to develop a guess, right? At that point, a prototype is really just a guess on whether or not people will pay for it. So I used Wix and I used Google Forms to build my first platform, use my back-end algorithm and plug that in and all of those things to test if people would pay, test if our algorithm worked, test if people wanted a mentor outside of their company, who would sign up, all of those sort of hypotheses and things. And we actually got paying users using this and giving us feedback. Ching. Right? Yeah, that was great. And so I think when you don't have the money, mm-hmm. and you don't necessarily have like the monetary resources, but you have that grit and you have the passion and you think that you're onto something, yeah. you'll find a way. Yeah. Whether it's a toothpick and duct tape or using, you know, your best friend's younger brother who's yeah. a developer or whatever,
yeah.
you find a way, right? Yeah. So that was my first MVP. I've been very fortunate to meet, you know, amazing people over the past 2 years that, you know, have donated their time essentially. So if I'm sitting there looking at my platform saying, okay, how am I going to take it from version one, right, to version 1.5, now that we have more customer feedback. And there have been people along the way that have sort of donated their time to help me build that, which is great. So we actually started off as a consumer platform doing women-to-women mentor matching. I thought it was a lower risk way to test out some of the hypotheses I just said before going to a large organization. And so what really confirmed it was time to go enterprise was I was invited to attend the 2016 White House Summit on Building the Tech Workforce of Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so hearing the responses of the tech boot camps and the organizations and everybody there, it was really serendipitous. I was like, this is the time to go enterprise, so we're doing it now. So we closed our doors on our consumer model officially February of this year. And then we've been fully enterprise ever since. So first consumer customers is a completely different story. I'll talk about the first enterprise customer.
Okay.
I mean, it took a while. You know, there's a lot of drip campaigns and social media and all these like things that you try and fail and try and fail, and you get worried that no one is going to actually respond to anything.
Yeah. How much time is a while, if you're willing to share? I'm just curious.
How much time is a lot?
A while, you said. It took a while.
Oh, good question. Oh, geez. I never quantified it. I mean, I always knew we would go enterprise, but we didn't get our first paying customer until September.
Okay.
So grateful for that. It wasn't as long as it could have been, mm-hmm. but I felt just growing pains and all of those things. So our first actual customer was the DC Economic Partnership as part of their Pathway Scholarship mm-hmm. Program. We were one of the partners there. And that was our first break into the enterprise space.
So from February to September?
Pathways was in the summer. That was about August.
Okay. Is there anything nagging or keeping you up at night right now?
Yes, of course. Welcome to entrepreneurship, right? I think the things that are keeping me up at night right now, sales, right? Yeah. I mean, you don't have a business unless you're growing and helping people and actually, you know, generating revenue. Mm-hmm. So for me, the big one is reaching out to more prospective customers. Mm-hmm. So our target companies are companies with 1,000 employees or greater in the U.S., any location in the U.S., that's tired of losing top performers and diverse talent.
What's one of the best pieces of advice you've received as a founder?
I've gotten a lot of really good advice. You know, I've been asked this, and I like to think of it as, what are the pieces of feedback or the things people have told me that have made a positive impact on the business or myself as a founder? So I think the first one is, I went to MIT's Global Entrepreneurship Bootcamp in 2016, and Bill Aulet, who runs the MIT Entrepreneurship Department, he gave us the advice of just customer interviews are everything. If you don't know what your customer wants, they're not going to pay for it. So really fully immerse yourself in the customer, the customer's problem. Ask them as many questions as you can and get them involved in the process of growing your business. And I think that's been really helpful. Don't downplay the hard work and the accomplishments that you've made so far. I think as a founder, and I've talked to other founders about this, it's like, yes, you know, I got an A, but why wasn't it an A plus or an A plus plus, you know? Why wasn't, like, you're always thinking about, like, how you could have done something better, which I think makes a strong founder. Like, you should never be complacent. But, you know, taking a second to celebrate the milestones, like, yes, first customer, that took a lot of work. Like, take 2 minutes because startup time is expensive. Yeah. But, you know, enjoy that and feel that and then keep going. Mm-hmm. I think another good piece of advice when thinking of building partnerships, think about going left and right and not just up, if that makes sense. So yes, you want to partner with the influencer and the big fish. Look at the people who are in the trenches and kind of trying to get out of there with you, because those are going to be the people that'll be in the influencer space in the future with you, right? So you want to start learning from those people. Plus two, like I said before, when you're bootstrapping and you're broke and you have to find a way to make it, there's a lot of innovation that happens in that space. So being able to utilize one another and best practices and things that are working for you and developers or whatever else, sort of banding together to help each other mm-hmm. get up has been very helpful too.
The looking left and right, I love that. As a way to think about it, because, and I've thought about sort of my own relationships and my own networks like this for a long time, that the stronger your relationships are with the people around you, the more that can happen, the more possibilities mm-hmm. there are. You know, maybe you're the one that makes it, and now you have this incredible network of people that you want to bring up with you, you know, that you know will put in the work because you worked with them.
Right.
You know, maybe someone else makes it, and they know you really well. Because also when you met, if someone gets that break, trust is a big issue. Because once you get that break, there are a lot of people coming at you for a lot of different reasons. So being able to look to your left and right, like kind of just to take that a little further and say, I know you, we've worked together. I know that this is about the work we've done, you know?
Right.
So I really like that.
Thanks.
What's one thing you know now that you wish you had known at the beginning?
I'm actually glad that I didn't know anything about what I was jumping into. I'm so glad. I'm grateful that I understood the fundamentals, like understand your total addressable market, understand your value prop and your customer and all of those things, like, initially.
Uh-huh.
But I'm so glad that I didn't know much else.
Okay.
Because I think, okay, so I'm just, follow me here because I'm thinking on the fly, but have you ever seen, like, a toddler or a little kid that just, like, jumps off the top of the stairs because they don't know any better?
Oh, totally.
And that, like, fearlessness to just, like, fly off the coffee table or whatever.
Yeah,
you might fall and, like, hurt yourself, but that moment of exhilaration and just, like, let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I didn't know anything else or even think about what might come crashing down on me.
Uh-huh.
And I just took that leap instead. So I'm actually grateful that I didn't know a whole lot about entrepreneurship or the startup scene beforehand.
So owning this idea of being a beginner.
Yeah. Being a beginner, being in sponge mode, trying to learn from as many people as possible, kind of being excited about what you're going to uncover.
Yeah.
And recognizing that you don't know everything or that you won't know everything. I wouldn't change anything about how we started or want to know anything else.
You're really appreciative that you didn't know a lot about the space when you got started. I mean, you talked about the total addressable market and you had this passion.
Yeah.
What did you already have, or what skills did you already have that helped in entering into this unknown?
Got it. So my background's in graphic design. So whipped up the logo, whipped up our first page. I still design our marketing collateral and everything. So that was great because it saves me tens of thousands of dollars all the time. And I can get up at like 2 a.m. and say, you know what, we're rebranding, and then do it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been helpful from a collateral and marketing perspective. I think I've always had an understanding that there will always be somebody who knows more about every topic more than you. So trying to find those people that knew what they were talking about was always something I did in the corporate world,
mm-hmm.
pre-entrepreneurship. Like if I wanted to learn about project management, I would talk to the director that managed all of the program managers on a defense contract, right? And like, what are the skills that these people have that I need to get here? And that kind of a thing. Like, what does a day in the life look like for you? Using that when talking to successful entrepreneurs. Also, I've never been one of those people that's really into themselves. Like, I'm really not. Like, I recognize that I'm just some girl out here trying to make it with a lot of grit and a lot of heart and ideation and a 314 million addressable market. But, like, you know, otherwise, I recognize that I'll never know everything, you know? And I think that that's been helpful too, because then I'm open to learning from people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have this sort of like startup founder ego that I think can hurt a lot of people in the future.
Yeah. There's a, I don't know who said it, I'm really bad at attributing quotes, but I know when it's not my quote, which is, you know, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Mm, I like that.
To like.
Yeah, right? That's really good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That came to mind when you said that, right? Like, there's not a lot to learn if you, either you think you are or you in fact are. There's a dramatically less that you could be learning.
Right, yeah.
Steve Jobs, he hired that way. He would say, I'm not hiring you to tell you what to do. I'm hiring you because you're really good at this, and I need you to own it.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. You know? Even with the team that I built with the mentor method, everyone, I'm like, you tell me. You know, like, this is the vision. This is what I think we should do. What red flags do you see in this?
Yeah.
What would you do differently? Like, if you think I'm wrong, I want you to tell me, and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Whether or not I am is debatable. But, you know, we'll talk about what the solution you think we should implement is, mm-hmm. and then we'll figure out, you know, what makes sense, and we'll just test it because we're in startup land.
I like it. I really only have a couple more questions.
Okay.
What's one piece of advice you'd give yourself knowing what you know now, back when you started?
That's a good question. I would tell myself 2 years ago, keep going. The fear and the excitement that you're feeling, use that to fuel you. And use that same energy that you put into being better than all of the boys in defense contracting, being a top performer, that sort of corporate recognition that you fought really hard to get for so long, that's going to help you immensely in the startup world. So just keep doing it.
Keep doing you.
Just keep doing it. And you will not sleep. You will not sleep, but it is okay. Eye cream is an incredible thing, and it's worth it.
Who's a founder you admire and why?
Oh, there are so many.
Whoever pops into your mind at this moment.
At this moment, so Christina Francis, she's the founder of Esteem Logic. We're partnering together on a few things, and she was an executive at Booz Allen, and now she has her company, and she's one of the most incredible people I've ever met, because she's so humble. You have these conversations with her and she drops these like pieces about her career and you're like, whoa, wait, you did what? Like, you ran how large of an account at Booz Allen? You know, like, you've done how much? And she's so humble about it. But then too, she actually walks the walk. You know, like, she's not one of those people that will go up on a panel and say, we all need to band together and do one thing, and then get off stage and start kicking people in the shins and not helping anybody, right? Like, who you see is truly who she is. Mm-hmm. And there are so many founders, especially minority founders, that are continuously singing her praises because she's so generous with her time and generous with her experience and her business acumen, and truly pushes the ladder down with no intentions of like pushing it over. Like, it's incredible. I'm really humbled to, you know, have her as a support system and have her as, you know, somebody that I can leverage for advice. But I mean, there are so many founders.
Yeah.
So many founders and people out here hustling and working so hard. I mean, I think my Humble Ventures family, as I call them, the cohort that I went through with Humble Ventures, my Seed Spot family, my MIT Global Entrepreneurship family. I mean, there are so many amazing founders that are left and right of me right now that I'm just consistently inspired and motivated by. So,
I mean, it sounds like you're surrounded by some great communities.
You know, it's I think so, you know, and I'm really grateful and humbled by that. Like I said before, you know, you're not entitled to anybody's time. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a reason why people come into your life. For better or for worse, there's always something to be learned, right? Yeah. So I'm really thrilled and excited about the people that are growing their businesses with me right now, and excited to see how much they've grown, how much the Mentor Method has grown, and how much further we all have to go in our ventures.
Yeah. Janice, this has been excellent. I always want to make sure that people can follow my guests. Is there a good place for people to find your work, to follow along? Because it sounds like you're learning and you want to be sharing what you're learning.
Yeah, of course. So follow us on Twitter at The Mentor Method. You can follow me too at J Omadeki. Follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter. We're pretty active there. If you're an organization that wants to talk diversity and inclusion and mentorship and would like to stop losing their top performers and diverse candidates, email me, janice@thementormethod.com, and visit our website, thementormethod.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Founder's Mind. On the next full episode, I'll have McKeever Conwell, aka Mac, a serial entrepreneur who is currently the portfolio manager at Tedco in Maryland. In that episode, you'll learn about the power of self-education and how grit will get you where you need to go. To make sure you don't miss any awesome insights, nuggets of wisdom, and tangents from guests of The Founder's Mind, be sure to subscribe on iTunes and follow along on social at The Founder's Mind. To learn more about past and future guests and listen to other episodes, you can visit thefoundersmind.com. I look forward to sharing future episodes with you all, and don't forget, sharing is caring and greatly appreciated. Until next time, take care.